Hello, this is a message before we start the podcast. Please remember and be aware of the fact that the person recording this podcast and talking about these topics is not educated professionally or properly in this stuff. They are speaking from their own experiences and from research they have done. Research can vary from anything from looking on the internet to interviewing people. Enjoy! Hello, everybody. My name is Maddie, and today we are going to be talking about experiencing trauma and trauma in general. The way the brain processes trauma is different for everyone, and depending on a lot of factors, trauma can have very specific effects on the brain. Trauma is processed in the brain differently than most other things. Traumatic memories are not processed in the way that not traumatic memories are. Like a lot of memories, you know, you are able to look back on and pull out of the file or the bookcase or whatever you picture in your mind as. Trauma, on the other hand, seems to be something that you either don't really notice or something that's locked up. You know, it's hidden, you can't access it, or it's not completed. Trauma is remembered as fragments, not as a whole, which is why when people experience trauma, they should do everything in their power to try and remember it so it can be processed properly. But it's not something we can control. The reasons why we may not remember trauma is because that is how our brain has decided to process it. Our brain has decided, whoa, this is too much for me to handle, and I cannot experience this or handle this right now. Therefore, it gets locked away. Trauma and PTSD, also known as post-traumatic stress disorder, tend to go hand in hand, but not always. Remember, not always. In which most people should know what PTSD is in its most basic form. You know, we all know what it is without really knowing what it is. We know why it happens without knowing why it happens. Not very many people understand where PTSD comes from and what it can cause, i.e. flashback triggers and can lead to other mental health illnesses or disorders, etc. And people also don't understand what flashbacks or triggers really are because they are a lot of things. For me personally, I've never really experienced a flashback, but I do experience emotional flashbacks or flashbacks where it feels like I'm feeling what I went through, but it's not how they're always portrayed as in media, as, you know, suddenly things flash before your eyes and you go quiet and your eyes glaze over. It's not really always that. It can be, but not always. Flashbacks are strange and should maybe be named something different. Triggers are something that sadly have been turned into a meme or a joke online, despite the fact that they are very serious and should be taken very seriously. Triggers are something that can cause or trigger a flashback. They tend to really go hand in hand with each other. And what can be a trigger for someone is not in their control. It is not something that they choose. It just is how it is. Trauma and mental illness can be linked, but are not always the cause of an effect of each other. Yes, they can go hand in hand, but not always. Always remember that. Remember that this is all different for everybody. Trauma is not simple and should never be treated as such. All kinds of things can cause trauma, and we cannot choose what does and doesn't, because trauma is not a choice. It is not fun and is often the result of something upsetting and/or disturbing. Trauma is something that is hard to talk about and hard to explain, and a lot of people don't realize that they have trauma or their trauma has been normalized for them. It's this thing of a lot of people do experience trauma in their childhoods. It's either they don't accept it or they do accept it and treat it a certain way. And I'm not saying that trauma is common or universal, because it's not. And trauma can vary hugely. But it's that thing of, if you ever experience something that activates your fight or flight and you're not really shown no and you're not sure why, it might have to do with your childhood. Our childhoods and who we have as parents and or guardians and or, you know, the adults in our lives that we look up to and spend our time with has a huge, huge effect on who we are as a person. In the first 7 to 9 years of our lives are the most important, because that is when the basics of your personality is fully developed. I'm not saying that your personality cannot change, because it's believed that your personality goes through a big shift or dramatic change about every 7 to 9 years. That's why the first 7 to 9 years are so important, because that's when your personality develops. And that's why, you know, it's just a common thing of, hey, maybe let's not let children experience trauma or go through traumatic things. How I have personally dealt with my own trauma is facing it head on and accepting that something bad has happened that has caused me to be traumatized. Saying something along the lines of, I have trauma and that is okay, is very good and is a good way to cope with trauma. It is always good to understand that trauma is never, under any circumstances, the fault of the victim. It is not something that can be controlled or decided on. I notice a lot of victim blaming when it comes to trauma. It's a very weird culture, but it's very normalized, especially in Western culture, where when someone has gone through trauma and is traumatized, people tend to blame them or, you know, treat them a certain way because of it. Trauma may not always be obvious, and it might take some time before you may come to even realize Sorry about that. We had a little mishap in the recording. Trauma may not always be obvious, and it might take some time before you may come to even realize that an experience has traumatized you. For example, when my mother passed away, I didn't realize how much trauma it had left me with until I noticed a change in my behaviors surrounding my father. Due to the fact that I wasn't with my mom when she died, I wanted to prevent being away from my father as much as possible. I began to skip school as a means to have more control over my father's whereabouts. I hated seeing my father drink because my mother's drinking problem was directly related to her death. I began to have nightmares and obsess over my father dying or the chances of my father passing. And due to my father's job, in which he is a lumberjack, he works in the woods with trees that are falling, and it is in the top three deadliest jobs. It was something I was constantly anxious about and started obsessing over. I had another traumatic incident in which I and some of my friends were crossing the street, and a semi-truck almost hit me. And if it wasn't for my friend pulling me out of the way, I would have been hit. This was one that took me a really long time to realize it had traumatized me. As a result of this incident, I didn't want to go to that area anymore. And I didn't like crossing the street at all. And for about 2 to 3 weeks after it happened, I didn't want to go out for lunch because it freaked me out that much. I actually had two nightmares about this incident. That's when I came to terms with the fact that this incident traumatized me. It took me about 2 years to realize what this incident did to me. It was a situation where me and my friends were legally, might I add, crossing a crosswalk when a semi-truck was struggling to stop as it came pulling towards us. It was one of those situations where he was kind of in the wrong, but I don't want to blame the guy driving. It was a situation where I was walking behind my friends and they were walking ahead of me. And the reason I was walking behind was I'm a slow walker. That's basically what it is. It's whatever. And as, sorry about that, I tapped my cup. As he basically came pulling up, he was going over a hill. The crosswalk was basically at the top of the hill, a terrible place for a crosswalk, but what can you do? And as we were walking, he didn't realize that there were people crossing, which is his bad, and he wasn't able to come to a full stop. And I didn't really even realize that he was heading towards us at such a high speed and high velocity until my friend pulled me out of the way. And yeah, if I'm going to be 100% honest, the feeling I was feeling, I kept confusing with embarrassment. I kept feeling embarrassed about the situation because I couldn't identify that the feeling I was actually feeling was like fear and like just anxiety about it in general, and it has affected me still a little bit to this day. I don't even like driving next to semi-trucks or around semi-trucks on the highway or on the road. It really, really freaks me out. And again, too, to this situation, I don't like crossing crosswalks, and when I do, I am super paranoid the entire time, and I basically run across the crosswalk. Most people who experience trauma tend to talk about it, but that's only after or when they are starting to accept it. Most people who experience trauma can joke about their trauma. There's nothing wrong with that. It's very normal. And the people who say not to joke about it or not to talk about it are typically the people who have experienced trauma, but look at it in a negative light. I have never said that I am the victim of my trauma. I am a survivor of my trauma. And my trauma is something that is very personal, deep, and intimate, and comes from all kinds of things in life. And like I said, we can't choose what traumatizes us. For me personally, I've been in a couple of different types of abusive relationships that have left me with trauma and have left me a different person than who I was. Like in my childhood, I didn't really experience that much trauma. A few things here and there were a little traumatizing and, you know, maybe left me with a permanent effect or a internal mental scar. But my trauma started to happen when I was around 11 years old. When my mother began to really experience her own mental illness and really start to experience her own trauma. That resulted in her having a drinking problem. This resulted in mine and my mother's relationship crumbling, in which our relationship beforehand was great. It was the ideal mother-daughter relationship. Really. But because of her drinking, it changed. She was angry, and I was angry. And we took it out on each other. And finally, due to pre-existing health issues in my mother's heart and lungs, her bad habits killed her. And that left me feeling ways that I still don't know how to explain. I understand how it makes me feel, but I can't really describe or talk about it. You know, the words just don't seem to exist in my mouth whenever I say, I feel this way about that. Because I don't know how to feel. Because my mother's behavior towards me at the end of her life was abusive. And I was abused. But I still love my mother. And I still mourned her. After that, I had a friendship that was about 5, almost 6 years long with a girl I will call Blood Rain. Blood Rain and I were very close friends. We met in the 7th grade, and we stopped talking before the summer before junior year. Blood Rain, in the beginning of our relationship, was a little odd. You know, she introduced me to things that she should have maybe protected me from, like self-harming or toxic behavior. She encouraged me to physically harm myself. She encouraged me to drink and smoke. She encouraged my bad behaviors, in which beforehand, I was a well-behaved kid, you know? She made me sneak out. She made me lie. She made me steal. She made me cheat because I wanted her validation. And then finally, she started to physically and sexually abuse me. And I dealt with that for about a year before I finally cut her out for good. There were a lot of other factors as to why we ended our friendship. And it didn't have to do with her behavior. Rather, it had to do with the person she was dating's behavior. Blood Rain was in a relationship with a man who was for the better half to his 30s, and we were 16. They started dating on my 16th birthday when he was about 27 years old. This man was a predator, and he exhibited predatory behavior towards me and another one of our friends. And when I rejected him, he made Blood Rain treat me like garbage because of it. She had treated me worse than she ever had before. She was straight up bullying me, not just in private either. She was doing it at school, on social media, in front of my family, in front of our friends. And that's where I drew the line. And thankfully, due to another one of my friends in our friend group who stayed with me still to this day, she is the reason I was able to conjure up the courage to end the friendship. And surprisingly, Blood Rain took well to the friendship ending, but that didn't stop her from reaching out to me on a couple of separate occasions throughout the 3 years that we have no longer been friends. The first time she reached out to me, I responded and told her, "I am not interested in being your friend ever again." And then one time, she basically, without my permission, uploaded a video of me online. And I asked, and I reached out to her for her to take it down. She was reluctant and initially told me no. And then I basically was like, "Hey, it's kind of illegal for you to post videos of me without my consent. Please take it down before I literally take you to court." She still wasn't down for it, and she said, "Okay, I'll get around to it." Then finally, the third time I called her out, she took the videos down. Thank God. And then she reached out to me again. And I didn't respond. I didn't even read what she said. She had messaged me on a social media website, and I knew it was her immediately because she introduced herself at the beginning of the message. And once I read her name, I immediately went to the profile and blocked it. I wasn't interested. That was when she had messaged me, was the peak of when I was starting to realize the effect she had on me and what she had done to me. And I was in a very, very bad place, and I was very angry and holding a lot of anger towards her. Rightfully so. This relationship happened when I was 14 to 15, and for a portion of when I was 16, I was in a relationship with a boy. Well, boy isn't exactly what I would call him. He was a man. He was a fully grown adult. When I was 14, he could legally buy alcohol. I think we'll call him Tucker. Yeah, Tucker's a good name. Tucker and I were okay. We weren't much of anything, if I'm going to be honest. Our relationship was very vague and open-ended until it wasn't. Our relationship kind of came together through drugs. We did drugs together, and we drank together, and did all of that fun stuff. Then finally, he asked me out. And I was like, "Oh my gosh, this older dude is into me. I am stoked." Not realizing that this man was a predator. I don't like talking about it, because this is the one that gets me the most. because it was so extreme and because he did things that no one else did. Tucker was abusive in every sense of the word. Emotionally, mentally, verbally, physically, sexually. Just abusive. And that relationship went on for the better half of 2.5 years. For 2.5 years, I was tormented by him. Thankfully, for a portion of the relationship, it was online. But sadly, the worst of the relationship was when we were in person together, when he was able to manhandle me, use me, do whatever he wanted. Escaping that relationship was somewhat easy, mainly because I had a good excuse. I broke up with him because my mom died. I said, my mom is dead, and I'm not ready or okay with being in a relationship right now. And thankfully, he took well to that. And after we broke up, we communicated only a couple of times civilly. He never reached out to me because he had been cheating on me. And the moment we broke up, he got into a relationship with her. And I don't know how to feel about that. Now, that type of trauma is, you know, obvious, which is a weird way to say it. You know, that's obvious trauma. That's abuse. You know, of course you would have trauma from those things. But there are other things you can get trauma from too. Trauma isn't a choice. It isn't a decision. And people who experience trauma should not be treated as lesser because they're not lesser. They are equal to you. They are the same as you. They are just a person who went through some shit. And I'm sure that's exactly how they would say it too, is I'm a person and I went through some shit and that is how it is. You know? It's all in the way that we see it. It's all in perspective, which isn't easy. That's something that takes time and, you know, you have to be mentally strong. And the only way to be mentally strong is to be in a good place. And how we get into a good place mentally is its own journey, its own podcast, you know, where it's all kinds of things. It's coping mechanisms and meditation and types of therapy and what we do and what we don't do and what is depression and what is anxiety and what is mental illness and what is it that I am feeling and experiencing and what are recovered memories. And there are so many questions. And I don't feel that I can answer them. I can obviously do my best, but I'm not perfect. Just be aware. Be honest. And please love yourself despite everything that you've gone through. Because you're great. I mean, look at you. I'd say you're pretty awesome.